and take your place in the army and the kingdom. We recognize our battle is not with flesh and blood, but with the principalities and the powers of the air. We are a ministry of prayer, and we highlight what God is doing through other ministries and ministers across the globe. We provide a platform for ministers and a place for the bride to come together and rally around each other, hold up each other's arms, and pray for one another. WATB Radio celebrates the various missions that God has called each one of us to in this army. So we desire to promote and enhance the bride as a whole. Go Bride! Our soon coming King awaits. Hello, Bride. Good evening. This is your host, Dr. June Knight. Listen, we have just rolled around into January of 2016. Can you believe we have already made it to 2016? Oh, my goodness. Listen, Bride, please come in agreement with me for better equipment. Amen. Listen, all month long, we are celebrating because the radio has now been on the air for 1 year. This month, we are celebrating our one-year anniversary. We give all the praise, honor, and glory to God alone. Amen. And thank you, listeners, for partnering with us and believing God for the vision of unity in the bride. Amen. Listen, please check us out on our website at www.watbradio.com and also our parent organization, We Are the Bride Ministries, at www.wearethebride.us. Great days ahead. We're believing that God is taking 2016. We are reaping the harvest for His mighty glory. Amen. Today we have the honor of hosting a minister named Scott Wood from Fort Worth, Texas, who is going to talk to us about France. There is a mighty move of God going on in France. He is with Worldview Mission Training in Fort Worth, Texas. His website is www.worldviewmissions.com. Hello, Pastor Wood. How you doing, sir?
Hello. It's great to be with you. I'm doing great.
Yes, we are so excited. Are you excited about 2016?
I am so excited about 2016. This is a year that God is moving in a more powerful way. The warfare is real, but God is greater than all of that. And so we're excited to see what He's going to do this year in France in furthering His kingdom in that nation.
Yes. Now listen, Pastor, before we get started about the vision and what's going on in France, we do want to ask you about your personal life. This ministry tries to get the point out there that God has called every one of us on a mission. And usually what has happened to you in the past is what caused you to burn with the passion and the fire of the ministry that God has given you today. So if you don't mind sharing with the bride and being a little bit transparent about your life.
I don't mind at all. I'd love to share that.
Okay.
It's interesting. I came to the Lord when I was 9 years old. My parents always believed that we should go to church. It didn't matter where we went to church, just happened to be wherever we lived. The closest church is probably where we went. And so we ended up, when I was a young boy, in a Baptist church. And at 9 years old in a Sunday school class, I heard the gospel for the very first time, and it touched my heart, and I gave my heart to the Lord. What I didn't know was that none of the rest of my family members were saved. I have three sisters. So there were six of us, and I was the first one in the family to give my heart to the Lord. And about a year later, we had a gentleman come to our church, and back in those days, they would come and preach revivals once a year, and he came and preached, and all of the rest of my family gave their hearts to the Lord, and we had this radical shift in our family. It was amazing. My father was an electronics engineer at NASA down in Houston, Texas.
Wow.
And he helped put the first man on the moon, was part of that whole team. And
No way.
So he with this radical transformation now, it was in the early 70s, all we wanted was to just, we were hungry for the Lord. We just wanted more and more and more. And so we ended up in an early, home group in the early 70s of the Jesus movement. And it was so powerful in our lives. And eventually my parents, I don't know, within a year or so after that, they ended up at a week-long conference at Christ for the Nations Institute in Dallas. And God powerfully, powerfully touched them. They came back to Houston and said, we really feel like the Lord is calling us to move to Dallas and go to Christ for the Nations.
What? How was your parents?
My father, I think somebody just told me he was 42 at the time.
Oh, thank you, Jesus.
So he quit his job at NASA, moved the entire family to Christ for the Nations Institute.
Wow.
And my mother and my father, my two older sisters, all attended Christ for the Nations.
What?
My little sister and I was 12 years old at that point, and my sister was 10. And we were just as on fire and hungry for the Lord as my parents were and my sisters were. And so I used to beg my parents, please let me skip school and go to chapel with you. I just want to be with what God is doing.
Wow.
And in those days, it seemed like that first year in particular, they had a lot of guest speakers where they actually would not just teach during the day during the regular classes, but they would actually teach every night of the week. And that was extremely unusual for Christ for the Nation, but that's what they did. And so we used to say, can we go with you? We want to go with you, you know? And so we were sitting in some of these powerful life transformation services. We were sitting in those and soaking in those and growing in those. And we saw God move in such amazing and miraculous ways, and it touched our hearts deeply, you know?
Yeah.
Well, my dad went on from there, went on to seminary and got his degree, and then went out and pastored out in West Texas. West Texas, pretty flat, pretty dry. Went and pastored his first church out in West Texas. And it was during that time they had a woman who came through who was a missionary, and he asked her to speak on a Sunday morning. And so she said, listen, you know, she got up to speak that morning and said, I've been praying about what the Lord wanted me to share. And she said, I am thoroughly convinced that the Lord has told me that I'm to speak to the young people in this church this morning. And we said, okay. So she stood up and she began to share about how God has a purpose for your life. And then it doesn't matter if you're 100 years old or 50 years old, or if you're 12 years old or 15 years old, that God wants to reveal his purposes to you for your life, that he has made you for a purpose.
Yes, and come on now.
So she said, now I'm going to, at the end of this time, I'm going to stop and we're going to pray. And we're going to ask the Lord to speak to us about what his purposes are for us. Now, you have to understand, even though I've seen God move, been in powerful teaching and wonderful times, you know what? I really didn't know how to hear the voice of God intimately for my life. I didn't know him as my father. I knew him as Jesus is Lord. I knew his, I worshiped him. But you know what? In terms of hearing that still small voice in my heart and him speaking to me, I really didn't know his voice that well.
Right.
And so at the ripe young age of, I was probably 15 years old, I don't know. I at the end of that message, we stopped, we listened, and she said, now, you know, you may not know the voice of the Lord. She said, maybe you're just learning. She said, that's okay. She said, but right now we're going to pray and we're going to listen. And whatever you feel like God has said, you may not be sure, you don't know, but whatever you believe he said, you have to take a step of faith. And that's why they call it faith, you know. So I stopped at the end of that thing and I listened and I said, Lord, what is your plan for my life? Now, you have to understand, in West Texas, there is a heavy Hispanic population. There is not a huge global culture, if you want to say it that way, in terms of...
Now, where is that again?
It's Midland, Texas is where it was. Midland.
Oh, okay, Midland, Texas, all right.
And so anyway, I'm listening, and I felt like the Lord said to me, I'm going to send you to France one day. And
yeah.
I thought, okay, where is that? I didn't know where France was. I didn't know anything about France other than I knew the name of the country.
Yeah.
And I thought, was that the Lord or was that me? And so I thought,
right.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if that was God or not, you know. But she had said, now, whatever you believe God is saying, you need to take a step of faith. And so right now I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord, what is my step of faith? And so then we listened again, and I felt like the Lord said, you need to start taking French in school. And amazingly enough, they offered French in school.
Wow, so that's awesome. And this is at 14 years old?
14 or 15, I think it was. And so I ended up taking all I could take in high school and then went on to college when I graduated, took some French, and then ended up coming to Fort Worth, Texas, where I live now, and actually going to Bible school and working for a couple of ministries. I worked for a church here in the area, a big church called Calvary Cathedral. I worked for a guy named Kenneth Copeland, Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I worked for a guy named James Robinson. But I was doing like graphic design and, you know, whatever they needed me to do. That's kind of what I did.
Right.
And so I said, okay, Lord, what about this France thing? Well, how does this work out, you know?
All right.
Well, how am I supposed to get from working for this ministry, you know, to being in France? And I didn't know. I was just lost as a, you know, how to get there. But I knew this, that God would make a way. And
yeah.
So I knew that somehow he was going to do that. And, you know, it just, in those moments, it feels a little pie in the sky, if you know what I mean. It's like,
yeah.
Okay, how, Lord, am I just crazy? Am I, you know, do I need to go make something happen or what do I do? And I really asked the Lord about that, and I felt like the Lord said, I want you to just take your TV. I want you to get rid of it. I want you to turn off the radio, and I want you to start praying more and just speak in my faith.
Yeah.
And so I was going home every night. I had my own apartment. I was going home every night, and I got rid of the TV, and I even got rid of a bunch of teaching tapes because I realized that even though they're wonderful, sometimes I can plug into those and not be listening to the voice of the Lord and praying. And so it becomes
Amen to that, brother.
So I said, okay, I'm gonna set all that aside, and I'm going to come home to the deafening quiet every night, and I'm going to just pray. And I thought, I don't even know what to do. And so I was filled with the Holy Spirit when I was very young, and so I came home every night, and I would just pace around my apartment praying in tongues because I didn't know what else to do, you know.
Right, right.
And every once in a while, the Lord would begin to show me something to pray in English, and I would pray that. And then when I didn't know what else to pray, I'd pray in tongues some more, and then I'd pray in English, whatever. And it just went like that. And I did that for an entire year for probably 3 hours every night, 3 to 4 hours every night, just
praying. Wow. That's amazing.
And it was powerful, powerful in my own heart and life. God began to do some things. He began to heal things. He began to deliver me from some things that needed some shifting, you know. And but at the end of that year, I was working for this ministry, and I felt like I began to hear the Lord really clearly, a lot more clearly than I'd ever heard him. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said, at the end of this year, I'm going to shift you overseas. And I went, wow.
Oh, man.
How does that work? How are you going to do that? And I didn't really know. But at the end of that year, I got my boss called me in, and he said, this is killing me to have to tell you this. He said, but we are having to cut back on some of our personnel. And he said, you were the last one hired into this department, and I have to cut you. I have to lay you off. And So he said, this is just killing me. And I said, this is exciting because the Lord told me that if he is like, you know. So he was completely confused. He's like, what? I just told you I'm laying you off, and you're all jumping up and down excited, you know.
Telling you, yeah.
So anyway, that was right at Thanksgiving, right at Thanksgiving of that year. And the Lord had told me this back in, I think, February maybe, you know. So that's what was really crazy about it, really fun. So then that weekend after Thanksgiving, we went to a local theme park here in the area. They had a Christmas thing they were doing. And I ran into some people I hadn't seen in many years who he had been my youth choir director many years before. And I said, what are you doing now? And he said, we're living in Europe. I said, what are you doing in Europe? And he began to tell me about what they were doing. And he said, we're actually putting a team together and to do some stuff, to do some ministry all over Europe. And he said, do you think that the Lord might be speaking? Because I said, you know, the Lord spoke to me about Europe. And he said, do you think the Lord might be speaking to you about this team? And I said, I don't know. And I came home really feeling in my heart that I did know. But so the Lord opened it up. And the next thing I knew, I was living in, not France, I was living in Germany.
Oh,
Wait a minute. Lord, you said France. How am I in Germany? I thought, my ears must have been clogged, and I was one country over too far, you know?
Yeah.
But anyway, so I was with those guys for 2 terms, and it was wonderful. We traveled all over Europe, sharing the love of God, intimacy of the Lord.
It was
beautiful. We were in city theaters. We were in huge, beautiful cathedrals. We were in evangelical churches. We were just all over the place, and God just touched me and ministered to people and to myself so deeply through that experience.
Aww.
But it's interesting. You know, here I'm learning German now, and I'm, you know, getting there. And towards the end of that second year with this base out of Germany, one morning the Holy Spirit says, okay, so at the end of this year, I'm going to send you to France. I went, no! I've just spent 2 years, two terms trying to learn German and all of these things, and I've gotten pretty good at German, and now he's sending me to France? You know, this is crazy, you know. So I said, Lord, if that's you, then okay, just do it. And so, sure enough, I come home at Christmas time, and I end up meeting some people who are planting a work in Paris right in the spring.
Oh,
and so I went,
Lord, yeah.
And I hadn't known anyone in France up to that point. In fact, everyone I would speak to, I'd say, do you know anybody in France who's missionaries and doing ministries in France? And over people would say, no, we don't really know anybody, you know. So
yeah.
It was really amazing, one of the divine appointments that God gave me. And I wasn't even asking at the time. Somebody just said,
right.
Yes.
Well, listen, we're going to cut you off a minute because before you go on to what happened in France, which is why we're having this call, we're going to take a quick little break, I'm going to ask you one question.
Yes,
ma'am. And this is kind of off topic of France because when we come back from our commercial break, I want you to continue about what God is doing in France and what he's doing current day and what the bride needs to be coming in agreement with you about so that that nation can be taken, the harvest can be taken. But what I want to ask you and kind of shift over back to America is focusing on the American bride. What would you say to her right now, considering current day events with all of the bad news and stuff that's going on?
You know, it's really interesting because with Islam, dominating the news these days with the terrorism attacks in France, France and the United States, it's really, you know, causing a lot of people to go, a lot of the church, you know, a lot of believers to go, to ask the question, what should we be doing? What's going on here? How do we respond? And there's lots of different responses. Sometimes I've seen with some folks I know on like Facebook where they're saying, hey, we should just go and attack all the Muslim countries, or, you know, we should just go to everybody that's, you know, part of this or whatever. And there's lots of different responses, but it is certainly stirring up a lot of stuff. And what I would say for the body of Christ is that know the heart of your father. What is the Lord saying about this season? They asked Angela Merkel, they said, what do we do? Who's the Chancellor of Germany, by the way. They asked her, what do we do to keep Germany from becoming an Islamic country? And, you know, her father was a pastor, and she said, have the courage to be a Christian. Start going back to church and start digging back into your Bible again. And this is her national response to how, if you don't want some other whatever belief system to take over, then you're going to have to take a stand in the spirit. You're going to have to take a stand before men, but you're going to have to get back into who God really made us to be, and that's his bride. And so without, you know, I believe one of the biggest diversions of the enemy is to get us away from who we really are and into just a very self-serving faith. What do I get? You know, we read the Bible. You know, have you ever thought about a group photo? Like when you look at a group photo, what's the first thing you look for? If you're in it, what do you look for in a group photo?
Yourself.
Sure. And a lot of times we read scripture exactly the same way. We say, well, what do I get out of it? What's in it for me? And we forget that in the end, this is not called my story. It's called his story, right? This is his story. This is the story of God and how I fit in his story, not how he fits in my story, right? And so we have to understand what is his story. And so I think one of the biggest questions that we need to be asking as the body of Christ is we need to be saying, what does God get out of all this? How does God get the most glory? How can my life most glorify him instead of making it about me, because it's not about me? So if we make that shift, and we're saying, Lord, what do you want to do in Iran? What do you want to do in Iraq? What do you want to do in the Muslim peoples that are in France or in Europe or in the United States. What is it you want to do? All of a sudden, we shifted away from our own fear and our own situation, and we said, God, how do you get the most glory? Because you said that if we would, Jesus, if we would lift you up, that you would draw all men unto you. So how do we lift you up so that people can be drawn to you? Because, you know what, I'm powerless without him. I have nothing to give outside of him. And so making life, making everything about me and what I get is not who God has called us to be. It's about Jesus being Lord and the Father being our dad and him getting the glory from the nations of the earth.
Right. Amen. Okay, we're going to take a quick break. One moment.
All right.
Reflecting your vision properly through the web? Do you have a website and maximizing on social media platform? Now listen, your online presence is as vital as your personal presence. Visions Communication can help you achieve that vision. We will take your vision and creatively express it to the world. We will partner with you today to reach your perfect target audience, which is souls. Contact us today at www.govisions.us and present your vision to the world in the best way. Amen. Are you a writer, or do you have a story to tell and maybe you need a little help with your writing? Well, go to Treehouse Publishers today. We can help you achieve your dream. Dreams come true in our house. Do you have a book just waiting in your spirit to come out and share with the world? Well, Treehouse Publishers will help you to achieve your dream. Write that book today. Sell your book in London, in Africa, and many other countries. Let your tree bear much fruit with Treehouse today. Go to www.gotreehouse.org.
Okay, Bob, we're back. This is Dr. June Knight. We are here with our guest tonight, Scott Wood from Fort Worth, Texas, Worldview Mission Training. Now, sir, we're going to go back to what happened once you arrived to France. Okay, go ahead, sir.
So I connected with this team that was planting a church in France and got involved with them. And over the next 6 years, we saw three, almost four churches planted during that time. One of the things you have to know about France, when I was living there, there were about 0.5% born-again Christians in France. That's half of 1%. That's not very many. In fact,
wow, that is a lot, little.
There were more Christians in Pakistan than there were in France. And Pakistan's a Muslim country, right? And so it was an interesting situation because while France had been a Christian nation at one point, France is no longer a Christian nation. It's really postmodern or post-Christian nation. And in fact, you may have 75% of the people who say, yes, I'm Catholic. Less than 5% would even go to Mass ever, Christmas, Easter, anything, you know. In fact, many, many, many of those same people would also say they're atheists. I'm a Catholic, but I'm an atheist. And so it was really challenging. I would ask people, do you believe in God? And they'd say, well, I am God. And I didn't understand what they meant when they first said that. So I said, why do you say that? And they said, well, I'm the master of my destiny. Therefore, I am God. And I thought, wow, lightning is about to strike. I would want to step backwards because I think, man, I've never known people who claim to be God before, you know. And so it was really a difficult field. In fact, France was known as the missionary's graveyard, and still today is called the missionary's graveyard. Many people have said France is like a black hole spiritually. In fact, I've heard multiple people say that. But the fun thing is, so I was there for 6 years. We saw several churches planted, French, Dutch, which was spontaneous combustion, Filipino,
yeah.
And then eventually Algerian. An Algerian church was birthed. And so it was an amazing time to be there. But 22 years ago, and so at the end of that time, the Lord really took us into a season of prayer, because I kept saying, Lord, how challenging this place is. We have fruit, but it is so hard won. Something is wrong. Because your word says that light always overcomes darkness. But it sure seems like in this place that darkness so easily overcomes light. And
right.
I know that some of us have felt that way in our own lives. Like, why is it so hard to just get a breakthrough, you know?
Yeah.
And so I said, Lord, something has to give. Something has to change. What's wrong? And that's when the Lord said, I want you to stop some of this activity you're doing. I was doing evangelism 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. And
doing
discipleship 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. And then all the other things you do when you're a church planter. And the Lord said, I want you to stop with the evangelism, and I want you to start praying 4 hours a day, 5 days a week. And I went, okay, how do I do that, you know?
Yeah.
And so God brought me a little team. There were four of us, and some people would leave, and God would bring other intercessors in. But over the course of that year, that last year I was there, the Lord had us begin to do what he called strategic prayer. And I saw this picture. I was praying, and I said, Lord, how do we do this? Because, you know, we've been praying. It's not like we haven't been praying. But the Lord showed me this picture of a skyscraper. And I was looking at the top of the skyscraper, and I saw prayers coming up like missiles. And they were hitting the top of the building, and they were knocking out the glass, but the building still stood. And I heard the Lord say, it's not just prayer that makes a difference. It is strategic prayer. And I saw my vision shifted. I went from looking at the top to coming down and looking down the side of the building all the way to the bottom. And when I looked at the bottom of the building, I realized that it was built like on an area rug. And I saw the hand of the Lord grab that rug and gently tug it, and the whole building toppled. And the Lord said, it's not just prayer, it's strategic prayer. It's learning.
Wow, that is profound.
He said, it's learning how to deal with the foundations that allow that thing to stand. And so we begin to cry out and say, God, what are the foundations? How do we begin to approach this so that the foundations are being dealt with? And there's a whole lot of stories we could talk about there. But what happened is over the course of months, the Lord began to really reveal some things in the, you know, every time in the history of a people group that a people group is not trusting in the Lord, they're trusting in something else. And when they put their trust in something else, it empowers the enemy to have place in that people group. And in fact, many times celebrations and things like that are happening in a people group are just symbols of the covenants that they've made outside of God. They've made these covenants with these other beings that they don't realize are demons. And so it empowers these things. It empowers these strongholds in the nation. And so the Lord began to reveal some of these kind of things. I said, Lord, I don't want to chase, you know, there's so much. France is over 2,000 years old. And if we just decided to get into our own intellect and try to figure this out, we could spend the next 2,000 years trying to look at their history. I don't want to do that. I just want to see breakthroughs here. And Holy Spirit, you know, it's like a bunch of scrambled eggs. How do you pick out which egg was the original egg or which egg was that egg? Or you can't. And so I began, you know, you have to understand, sometimes I like food analogies, you know. So here I have scrambled eggs as my analogy. So I said, God, only you can unscramble the scrambled eggs. Isn't that funny prayer, you know? God, unscramble the scrambled eggs. And so we said,
yeah.
You know how to do it. I'm not interested in chasing rabbits. I'm interested in seeing your kingdom come into this place and your presence released and people being able to finally hear the gospel instead of mishear the gospel. And so the Lord began to show us some things and began to show us things to pray, began to show us things to do. And in fact, there was a place there called the Place des Innocents. And the Lord, one of the things the Lord also said to me, he said, you know, I was asking the Lord, how do you win a city of 11 million people to the Lord? I mean, how do you do that? That's just massive. And I heard the Lord say, well, how do you eat an elephant? It's an old joke. How do you eat an elephant? And the joke says, well, you eat an elephant one bite at a time. And so I said, how do you take a city of 11 million people? And he said, how do you eat an elephant? And then I heard him say, you're going to take this city one square at a time. Because
all over cities,
you have these public spaces, these squares, and there are businesses around them, people live around them, and they're meant to be public places where people can gather and just get out of their apartments or houses or whatever and be in the sun or meet people or whatever. And I was really amazed, like, wow, that is so wise, Lord. You're so amazing, you know. And
yeah.
So I said, well, Lord, where do we start, you know. And the
yeah.
Lord began to speak to me about this one particular square called the Place des Innocents. And it just really literally means the place of the innocent one, which had originally been a cemetery connected to a church. It was right next to the church. And
wow.
It was no longer a cemetery. You know, it was all, you know, it's just a nice little square, nothing too assuming about it, you know, but I felt like the Lord said that was the square. And so we begin to say, okay, Lord, how do we pray over this place, this plus, you know, how do we begin to approach that? And I heard the Lord begin to speak to me, and he began to say, you're watchman on the walls. Have you ever asked God a question and he doesn't answer your question the way you thought? He says something different that you thought is just unconnected from that. And that's what happened here. I said, Lord, how do we take this square? And then he says, you're watchman on the wall. I'm like, okay, but what's the answer to my question?
Yes, Lord, watch on the wall.
And I thought, well, I know that scripture because that scripture is, you know, a classic intercessory, like, you know, intercessors are called watchmen on the wall. That's, you know, the concept. And so the Lord says, you're watchmen on the wall. I said, yeah, I know that. But how do we take this, you know, this square? And then he says it again, you're watchman on the wall. And then I didn't say anything. We're praying, you know, together, and some of the other intercessors begin to say, I keep hearing the Lord saying, we're watchman on the wall. I said, yeah, I know that, but, I mean, how do we take this square, you know? And then we begin to get calls from people that had been hearing about us praying and what we were doing, and they begin to call us. We probably had 3 or 4 different people call us and say, we are praying for you. And we keep hearing the Lord saying, you're watchmen on the walls. After about the 7th time or 8th time of the Lord sending somebody to say that, I finally realized, okay, God, there's something you want to say I'm not understanding. I'm a little bit slow. And so, anyway, I began to say, Lord, what does that mean, watchman on the wall? There's more to it that I'm not getting. And so one afternoon I was meeting with a friend of mine who was actually over the evangelism at his church there in the city. And his name was, I think, Christian. And I said, Christian, I don't understand. You know, the Lord keeps saying we're watchmen at the crossroads. It's actually, you know, the watchmen at the crossroads. It's how the Lord was saying it. I misspoke. And he's an architect by profession. He said, I know what that means. I said, what do you mean? He said, literally, the square you're talking about is the axis, the crossroads, that all of Paris is built around. Every architect knows this. This is the axis or the crossroads that all of Paris is built around. And I said, are you kidding me? Because when you would look at a map, it didn't seem like that. And it didn't seem like this major place that people go and just hang out, all the, you know, just masses of people hang out. And so he said, that makes all the sense in the world. And then I realized, yeah, that's true, you know. I mean, it is the axis that all of Paris is built around. And if you really look at it from a transportation issue, there's more subways that cross there than any other place in the city. And all of a sudden, it began to come together. And so we began to go out there and pray several times a week. And when we first went out there, the oppression, there was such a heaviness on that square that literally, you know, we were, even when we would begin to pray, it was like we could not wake up almost, you know, because the oppression. But we would press through, and then we would have a breakthrough. And over time, one of the days that we got out there, all of a sudden we realized that instead of heaviness, the moment we stepped on the square, we felt the presence of God hovering in this place. You know, it's kind of like walking in the church, you know, where the presence of God is. It's like walking there after several days of nobody being there, but you walk in and sense his presence. And that's how it was on this square. It was like, wow, we haven't been here in a couple of days, but God's presence is hovering over this square like in a church. And we went, wow, that's pretty cool. That's pretty awesome, you know. God likes to hover and dwell in places where he's been invited. He likes that. And he likes us to do that, not just on squares in Paris, but he likes us to do it in our homes. And he likes us to do it in our communities, in our neighborhoods. My wife and I walk our neighborhoods, and particularly my wife, who's an intercessor, she loves to walk the neighborhood and just declare and release the glory, the presence of God on our street, the streets that are around our house. And it changes things. We see shifts in things that happen in the neighborhood. So as we begin to do this, we begin to release the presence of God onto this square, begin to pray for breakthrough there. All of a sudden, we have this glory of God starting to cover the square. And we begin to share Christ with people there. And I mean, it was easy. All of a sudden, we begin to see people come to the Lord so easily, easier than we'd ever seen in our entire time there. And so, you know, we knew that God was at work in that. But I felt like during that time, the Lord said he wanted a house of prayer on that square, that it was important, that it was like a stake in the ground for all of Paris, that this is a dwelling place for God, that this is a place that has been claimed and declared and established for his presence right at the heart of the city. And so that was 22 years ago. 22 years ago, Christ for the Nations Institute actually asked me if I would come back from the field and I would help them develop a missionary training school that had just begun. And I was like, no way, God's moving in Paris. I don't want to do that, you know. But the Lord had other ideas, and I came back.
Right.
And actually helped develop the missionary training at Christ for the Nations. I became the missions director at Christ for the Nations. And for the last 22 years, in some way, shape, fashion, or form, I've actually been teaching at Christ for the Nations until this year. But about 4 or 5 years ago, the Lord said, I'm redirecting you, redirecting your focus back to France. And I always wondered, you know, because, Lord, you said you wanted a house of prayer on that square, and that's never happened. And what's going to happen with that? And I never really had an answer. About 5 years ago, the Lord said, I'm redirecting you back there. And I've been all over the world by this time, traveling and training and teaching people to reach the lost and how to get breakthroughs in prayer and all of these kind of things. And so the Lord really was shifting. That was a big shift. And so the last 5 years, we began to go back to France, and we said, Lord, what do you want to do here? And he said, I want you to start calling forth a movement of houses of prayer in this nation. Now you have to remember, 22 years later, remember there were 0.5% born-again Christians when I lived there 22 years ago. Now there's 0.7% born-again Christians.
Wow.
We've seen growth. We've seen movement. But we're still under 1%, you know. And so he says, I want to bring revival, but I'm going to have to shift the atmosphere. You're going to have a release of my presence over this nation, and it's going to come out of houses of prayer.
So we
said, how do we do this? And the Lord said, I want you to gather people there in Fort Worth. I want you to gather people who have a heart for France, and I want you to start calling forth these movements, this movement of houses of prayer. And so I was going back and forth multiple times a year looking for, Lord, if you're speaking it to us, we know you have to be speaking it to people in France. We know that has to be happening. But no matter what, every time I went to France, I was asking and looking and seeking and knocking, and I was not finding these people that had a heart for France. And so 3.5 years ago.
Before you go on, I've got to point this out, Brad. I don't know if you're paying attention. But he is saying that he asked God, how do you want us to do this? You know, that is so vital to the Holy Spirit. That's why it's so beautiful having a relationship with him. You know, when we minister to children, we tell the children, we have a superpower on the inside of us, you know?
Yeah.
We don't know how to do this. We don't know how to be the people God's called us to be. That's why we need the Holy Spirit. So he asked the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do? He gave him strategies. He told him, okay, do it like this, this, and this. It's like he mapped it out for him.
Exactly.
Isn't that just awesome about the Holy Ghost, how he does that?
Well, you know, it's interesting, Dr. Knight, because one of the things that God really put in my heart some years ago was from the passage where it says, well done. And we're at the end of our lives, we're looking for the Lord to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant.
Right?
And the Lord pointed out to me, He said to me, you know, I didn't just say, oh, good, you got it done. He said that it was well done. That's not just the what, but that was the how.
Come on now. Woo! That is awesome, the how.
It's not just enough to know the what. You need his strategies for the how.
Oh, man. That is a tweet. That is awesome. I love it.
So this has been a core of everything that we've done. It's always said, Lord, it's not enough to know the what. Now we need to hear you for the how. What are your steps? What are your strategies? And sometimes it's not as clean as just coming up with a plan and saying, this is how I'm going to do it. Sometimes you really have to say, Lord, what's my plan? And the Lord says, I'll tell you the next step. You know, and you go, okay, Lord, then I'm going to take that one step, and here we go.
Yes, now let me tell you, Pastor, I've said this many times, and I believe this. I'm convicted about this. I am convinced about this. if God, and this is probably talking to some pastor, or I'm not saying pastors, but anybody in ministry, basically. If God has told you to do something, and you said, no, I want to do this because it's a lot more comfortable. I don't want to go to that side of town. I don't want to be uncomfortable. I don't want to give up my ministry and go off and do something like that. I don't want to be persecuted. You will answer for that. And that right there is exactly it. Because, well done. Did you do the how of what I told you to do? It's all in obedience.
Amen.
Amen.
That's right. And, but that's where it also comes back to, it's not about me and what I want.
Oh, and
that's what we call
it. Yes.
That's lordship, right?
Yes.
If Jesus is Lord,
yes.
I obey,
yes.
Not just in the what, but in the how. So,
yes.
You know, who wants to be persecuted? Who in their flesh is jumping up and down saying, you know, who
come on, Pastor Wood. Amen.
Persecute me, please. Persecute me. Nobody's doing that, you know? Nobody wants that.
It's the truth. Hey,
you know,
who wants to go through the pit to get to the palace?
Exactly.
Who wants to go through the process? We don't want to go through the process. Take us straight to the palace.
Yeah.
But yes.
Right. Right.
You're absolutely right. And
hey,
that's why we have to obey him, because
yeah.
We have to go through certain tests, certain levels. It's like a video game.
Yeah.
You got to go through these levels to get to the next level. And it's all strictly obedience. That's why he tested Abraham. He couldn't tell Abraham, hey, I'm going to give you all the stars in the skies, your seed. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And not test him. He tested him to check
sure.
his heart. You know?
Well, you know, a lot of that is really God testing us so that we can realize what's there that's not yet his.
Yeah.
You know?
Ooh, yes, yes.
He said, let me show you what came out of your heart just now. You know,
yes.
Let me show you what's it being, what is oozing out as you're being squoze, you know.
That's exactly.
So, you know, nobody wants to be persecuted. The honest to goodness truth is I didn't ever want to go to, the 2 years I lived in Germany, I fell in love with the Germans and I was learning German. And I did a day trip over to Paris, and I hated it. Absolutely hated it.
Yeah.
The warfare was so intense, I hated it. It was a beautiful city. I just
yeah,
hated
it. Yeah, I know it,
it
is.
You know? But the Lord, had to really challenge me and say, okay, like Jesus in the garden,
yeah.
kneeling, you know, and he's saying, Lord, not my will. Lord, I don't want to go to the cross. Jesus didn't want to go and be nailed to a cross. He was not really wanting that in the flesh. And yet he said, Lord, not my will, but your will. Whatever
yes.
is going to bring you the most glory, that is what I want to do.
Yes.
And so that's what I said earlier, is that this is why it's so important, I think, how honest can I be, Dr. Knight? I need to know.
Yeah, be honest. Come on
honest?
Now.
Okay. I believe that in the Western church, and I'm not just saying the United States, but in the Western church,
right.
we've become highly narcissistic.
Oh,
we
yeah.
think that this whole thing is all about us and God making us happy, and we forget
yeah.
this is not about me. So,
yes.
so when the Lord says things like, I want you to stop what you're doing and go across town to a people that you don't know and you may not even like, which
yep.
exposes the judgments in our hearts, probably, you know, that we're making towards people. I want you to
yes.
go do that. When we say, I don't like that, and I don't want to do that, right? It's
yeah.
a way of saying, well, you know, I want to feed my flesh.
Yeah,
I want to
that's
be
right.
self-centered. I want to be narcissistic. I don't like it. It's like, you know, you can imagine the Lord saying, but it doesn't matter what you like. Is Jesus Lord or is Jesus not Lord, you know?
It's not right, about that's me. Right.
It's not about me. I am part
it's
of his
not.
Story.
And I'm going to tell you, Bride, most of the people that listen to this broadcast, they're all leadership.
Sure.
So all the leadership out there, we all know that, I mean, we are only human. You know, the flesh gets riled up sometimes when we get really busy and we're not able to, you know, spend the time we need to get in his presence to bow our flesh low. But we know when we get to that point and our flesh is, you know, our feelings, and we're not supposed to have our feelings ruling us or emotions. But when they do get to that point, we know, okay, I've got to back off and slow down. Because I've got to get on my face and take care of this, because there's too much of me alive. And that is the truth. We are on an everyday death process. And
right.
That is dying to our flesh, dying to our will. Because I tell pastors that I've helped, and it's been hundreds of them, on their websites and graphic design and all that kind of stuff and books, publishing books. And they're like, well, I feel really funny focusing on myself and, you know, having a website in my name because I feel like I'm being proud and boastful or whatnot. I said, no, let me tell you this. Look at it from this point of view. Did you die a long time ago or did you not? And they're like, yes. Are you the same person you was back then? No. Then who is God promoting?
Right.
He's promoting
right.
the new man. If we have all the Christians, all the leadership across the world say, we don't want to take social media, we don't want to do this, we don't want to do that because we don't want to be prideful or whatnot, well, who's going to take it?
Right.
We got to take it. None of us are who we wanted to be in our flesh. We'd be in the bar or we'd be off doing something goofy, you know.
Right.
No, we are who we are because we are led by the presence of the living God. He
Absolutely.
Has made us the people that we are, so we should allow him to promote you and to put you on the place that he wants you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Because we're not ourselves.
Well,
we're
dying
to ourselves.
It's like, can you imagine if Jesus, okay, the John tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, right? That
yes,
Jesus
yes.
became flesh and dwelt among us.
Yes.
And it says that Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You know, the Pharisees didn't like that because it sounded really arrogant. Because it sounded
yeah.
like you're claiming to be God. You can't be God. You're just a man. And
right.
yet the same pattern, the same principle is how God has called us. It's like we know that without him, we are nothing. But that we know with him, we bring the presence and the life and the deliverance
yeah.
and the salvation of God to people who have never heard. But we're the flesh. We are the gospel. We're the scroll that has now been written in front of men. And if we hide who we are and just try to be all secretive all the time, what happens is people don't get to read the scroll. They don't get to see God in flesh dwelling among them. And that's
right.
why it's important. It's important to not. I really love the heart that says, "No, no, no, I don't want to make it about me. It's not about me." I love that heart. That's called being without guile.
Yeah.
But in the same respect, you can take and you can hide what God has done by being so invisible that people can't see. You know, in the end, it's your face. It's your name. It's going to be a website, it's going to be a book in your name. But the reality is either you continue in it without guile, or you continue and you get twisted, and all of a sudden you make it about you. And that's really important. It's important to be able to say, yes, it's my name, but it's just because of Jesus in me. I'm the donkey that's carrying Jesus into
exactly,
Jerusalem.
Yes.
They're not cheering and clapping for me right now. They're clapping and cheering for the guy on my back, right? You know?
Right, right.
So that's what, to me, that's what we are. We're just a donkey, you know. We're just the person people can see. We're the arms that can hug people. We're the voice that can speak to people. And when we start to push all that and shove it into a corner and try, because we don't want to be seen, we don't want to be seen, we also begin to hide his voice and hide his hands and hide his arms and all of those things. So it's just, it's a really important balance, you know, to make sure that our hearts are pure, but that we are also making sure that he is seen before men.
Yes. Now, let me ask you this, Pastor. We are coming to a close here. But listen, we ask that the bride, that we pray across the world in agreement for every minister and ministry that God has brought on the radio, because we believe that God is taking you to the next level. We believe that God is taking you to promotion. So the bride, we come together in agreement because we are a praying ministry. So if you don't mind, bride, if y'all could bow your head and us come together in agreement for Mr. Scott Wood and his family and his ministry, Worldview Mission Training, from Fort Worth, Texas. Lord, we come together in agreement across the earth, Lord, the bride. We ask you, God, to be with Scott Wood and his family, Lord. We ask that you be with his ministry, Worldview Mission Training in Fort Worth, Texas. And, Lord, we ask that you bless them, Lord. Keep them, Lord. We plead the blood of Jesus over them today, Lord. We come together in agreement because your word says where two or more come together in agreement, that prayer shall be answered. We're asking you, God, to give them all the tools and strategies that he is going to need to take France and to take all the other seeds that you have deposited on the inside of him, that every one of those seeds would come to fruition in his lifetime, in Jesus' name. We thank you, God, for everything you have done in this whole entire family. His grandfather, his parents all went to that institute, Christ for the Nations Institute. Lord, we thank you that they have changed the course of their whole genealogy. They obeyed the Lord, and look, now the grandpa, I don't know if he's still living, but he was able to see or know that his grandson obeyed the Lord and that he is now traveling the world, obeying you, God. That is how we are and should be, Lord, taking our genealogy back so that we can affect our children and grandchildren, Lord. So we pray, God, you send angels to his home, angels to his ministry, Lord, to help him, Lord. May he gain more in his strength, in his body, Lord. Heal his body, heal his family, Lord. We come against every spiritual warfare that would try to wage war against this ministry, wage war against his family. In Jesus' name, Lord, we put a hedge of protection around them, Lord. I thank you, God, for giving him vision, Lord, because your word says that there is provision in the vision. We thank you, Lord, for provision. We thank you for increase in the prophetic, increasing in the dreams, Lord, increasing in dominion.
Yes, Lord.
Increasing in dominion in the territories that he goes to, Lord, in the Spirit, Lord. Giving him revelation knowledge from the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. We don't fear, Lord. We go and we take what belongs to us, what belongs to the kingdom of God. And
yes,
we thank
Lord.
You and give you praise for him being on this broadcast today, Lord. And all of us that are listening, no matter what point in time that you're hearing this broadcast, we lifting up Scott Wood, asking you, God, to use him for your glory. We don't know how long we have left on this earth, Lord. But you chose Scott Wood to live on this earth for such a time as this. You chose him. You told him to do this, do that, to take this dominion, to go to this place, using the strategies that you have deposited into him. And every bit of it shall come to pass in Jesus' name.
Jesus
and we
name.
Thank you for all of his heart's desires coming to him, Lord. And we thank you and give you praise, God, for his life, his family, and all of his parents, Lord, his grandparents. We thank you, Lord, for Christ for the Nations Institute. We pray you bless them, Lord. Bless all of the missionaries in the world, Lord, giving them everything that they need to take the harvest. It's
yes,
all
Lord.
About the harvest. It's all about your heart
yes,
and what
Lord.
You're wanting to do, God. So we thank you and give you praise, Lord, and we ask that you bless him, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Now, brother, before we get off here, we would love it if you would pray for our ministry and pray for the bride.
Yes, Lord. Father, I thank you for this ministry. Father, I thank you for what you're doing. I thank you for your presence that is released, not just on radio, but in all the books and all the speaking, all of the opportunities that you give them, that your presence is released and your word and your truth is established, God, for the sword that you put in their hand that is sharper than any two-edged sword that divides asunder in the body between what is of the soul and what is of the spirit. God, it brings a divine line of truth, a divine line of your presence, a divine line of order in your government in this bride, God, that prepares us, Lord, for the things that you have for us, Lord. Wherever we may be, whether it be large churches, small churches, whether we be in some little known town across the globe, God, we thank you for using this ministry to establish your glory and to release your kingdom throughout those places in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Well, sir, God bless you. We have really enjoyed having you on the air today. When are you going back to France, you think?
We are going back to in March. And one of the things that we're doing, I told you about this house of prayer that God wanted on the Place des Innocents. And we've never seen that. And the Lord has begun to speak to us about that. We're going in March and we're doing research trips to say, Lord, how do you want to do this? What do you want to do? When do you want to do it? So you can be praying about that. You know, one of the fun things is that over the last 3 years, we've gone from just one little house of prayer down to Toulouse, France, the southern part of France. We've now seen 34 of those houses of prayer established around the perimeters of France, and it's awesome. So we know God's at work. We know God's at work, but he wants a house of prayer there at the heart of Paris, and we're looking to see how do we do that. So please pray for us as we go.
Yes, Lord, that would be awesome. Well, after you go on that trip, you'll have to come back on the radio and tell us how it went.
Hey, I would love that. That would be great.
Yes, well, thank you so much, sir, and you have a blessed day.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.